Our theme this year for us to focus on, of course, is unity. And at the beginning of the summer, on Wednesday nights, we've changed the format of our Wednesday nights, and we do about four or five different things each month on the Wednesday night. And one of the first of those was a singing night. And when that first started, Bob made a statement about a unifying event, and that singing, he had not known of a more unifying church event than the times when we sing together. And when he said that, I totally agreed with him. But I have discovered a more unifying event of all things. I could not believe how unified our church became this past Wednesday night when we had a dunk tank and our ministry leaders, deacons, Keith, our brave souls that got up there as sacrificial lambs, and I've never seen a congregation come together. When we do that in the future, you know, sometimes just something just for fun to do together. When you hear dunk tank in the future in the bulletin, be sure and circle that. Make sure you're there. It has been a good summer, and I think it's been a good year. I hope it has for you, thinking more about unity and thinking more about, as a congregation, loving one another more. Turning your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 1. When I was young, I remember being reminded. One occasion just stands out to me. My grandmother, Dixie, Grandma Spencer, as we called her, would remind us sometimes when we'd go out. I remember we floated down the Illinois River a few times, and I just hear her saying, you know, don't forget to put on sunscreen or you will get blistered. That's how she would say it. And that's no exaggeration. I absolutely, multiple times, forgot and did not take her seriously and got a bad sunburn. You know how you have somebody reminding you? Some of you have been on vacation this summer. Some of you have gotten a sunburn. And you've had somebody remind you, don't forget to put on sunscreen, and you didn't remember. Have you ever been reminded, maybe by a doctor or pharmacist, don't forget to eat before you take this medicine, or you will get sick? I took some antibiotics one time and was traveling to preach at a congregation. I did that first thing in the morning. I hadn't eaten anything. Got sicker than a dog on the way. Didn't know if I could preach that morning. Reminders. We have a scripture here in 2 Peter 3. Verse 1 says it. Verse 2 says it. Starts out that you should remember. I'm going to remind you of something this morning that you already know. But, you know, if you forget to put on sunscreen, you get sunburn, it hurts, you live, life goes on. If you forget to eat before you take some medicines, you will get sick. It won't be fun. You'll live, life will go on. If we forget what this scripture says today, it'll be death for an eternity in hell. 2 Peter 3, verse 2 says that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Young people in particular, I think of our young people more. When you're in the future in a classroom and a teacher or a professor tells you there is no God, there is no creator, there is no heaven, there is no hell, Scripture told us scoffers would come. These are doubters. These are deniers. These are unbelievers. They're going to be there. They were there in the first century. They're around now. They're going to be. They're going to be people saying, look at this evidence, there is no God. and yet we know that there is. And they follow their own sinful desires. They want there to not be a God. Verse 4 says, they will say, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. In the first century, Christians thought Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. And rightfully so. He's coming back soon. We don't know when He's coming back. It is the right mindset to think that He's coming back in my lifetime. And they absolutely thought He was. You can imagine as year went by, year after year after year, that the doubters started to heckle more. They started to chatter more. And they would point to the past and say, look at all these years He hadn't come. He's not coming. And for us, it's a little different because we look back 2,000 years, we know Jesus hasn't come. But doesn't mean He's not coming. We know He is coming. Verse 5, for they deliberately overlook this fact. And I love this. Peter points out, hey, they forget this. He says that the heavens existed long ago, that the earth was formed out of water, through water, by the word of God. Creation was created not because God rolled up to His sleeves and got to work and worked hard, but God just spoke. And it was created. I cannot fathom the power of God. He just spoke it, and it was created. And by that word, the earth was formed out of water, through water, by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that existed was deluged with water and perished. It's talking about the flood. The earth was flooded. People forget that the earth was flooded. God promised. There was a day that God said it would. Noah built the ark. People doubted. The world flooded. Now we live in a day and time where there's evidence. I mean, we have evidence that there was a flood. There may be some debate on whether it was global or not. Of course, we know it was. There was a flood. And it is undeniable that there was a flood. And lo and behold, my book that claims to be inspired by God says there was a flood. And we can't forget that. Verse 7 says, but by the same word. So now we come back to this power of God, the power that He has just in His words. By that same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. God created everything with the power of His words. He flooded the earth with the power of His words. When the time comes, God will bring creation to an end with that same power. When you think about the beauty of this earth, it amazes me. Some of you have gone on vacations this summer. Two places that are particularly beautiful. They're called tourist attractions for a reason. I mean, people go there for a reason. They're just breathtaking. We went to Canada. We saw some beautiful lakes, rivers, streams, mountains. Went to Tennessee. Saw some beautiful part of America. Some of you have been to the ocean, maybe the Grand Canyon, Seattle, Washington. Someone rode a scooter all the way from Florida to Washington. Why anyone would do that, I don't know. But there's beautiful parts of our world. Stop and think for a minute that there's coming a day that God's going to destroy it all completely. The earth, it's odd to me. The earth was made for us. When you look at things, it's no accident. The beauty of this world, things that you've gone and seen in your lifetime, that was made for you by God. It's no accident. It's not that we just happen to live on a beautiful planet. God made that for us. But He's also going to destroy it. It's disposable. And that's hard for me to think of it that way. I'm not saying we don't need to, quote, save the earth and be good stewards of our planet. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there is a day that God's going to destroy it. This is a picture. You know how pictures don't do the scene justice. This is really true. This is flying home from Canada, seeing a sunset above the clouds. That's a unique sight. People haven't seen that except since the invention of flight. I mean, you think of all the people that walk the earth, they've never seen a sunset above the clouds. Beautiful. Amazing. When I look at this building, I think here's a building that is either condemned or it needs to be condemned, and it needs to be, this building should be slated for demolition. Okay. The earth is slated for demolition. The planets are labeled to be destroyed by God.
That's right.
It's coming. Verse 8, do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the day with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should receive repentance. We do not know when Jesus is coming back. We do know He has not come in the past 2,000 years. To some degree, it's understandable if we think He may not come in my lifetime. I mean, if there's any like math people in the room, statistically, you would think if something hasn't happened in 2,000 years, the odds of it happening in, let's say, 80, 90 years would be fairly slim. But He is coming. He is coming. We cannot misread the fact that Jesus is patient. There's a difference between patience and slowness. When I was a kid, I distinctly remember as a teenager, 13, 14 years old, Dad and I would be getting ready to go somewhere. I'd be ready to go. Dad says he's almost ready to go, and then he's still doing some things. You know, I've got to get this, I've got to grab this snack, and got to get my coffee, my thermos. I got to go to the bathroom. I mean, just little different things you have to do before we leave. I said, Dad, I thought you said you're ready like 15 minutes ago. Well, I mean, I am, but all right, now I need to get this. And I remember waiting on Dad. And now my kids do the same thing with me. Sydney gives me warnings when it's, you know, time to take her to school during the school year. She gives me like a 5-minute warning. Because she knows I'm still going to forget to grab it. I got to get my cell phone. I got to get my coffee. I got to get all these things. God is not that way. God has not been dilly-dally in the past 2,000 years. God has not been asleep. God is patient. This verse reminds us He wants everyone to go to heaven. I don't have an enemy on earth that God doesn't want to save. There's no one that God does not want to go to heaven. He's trying to reach them all. When you woke up this morning, you probably had concerns on your mind. You might have had obligations on your mind. You might have had responsibilities. You know, yes, we're going to church this morning, but well, I've got to take care of such and such today. You might have had dilemmas that you're trying to solve. You might have thought about your dreams or your wants. When God started this day, He's thinking about souls that He doesn't want to lose. God doesn't sleep. He doesn't wake up. But when we wake up and our mind's on earthly things, God's mind is on souls that He's trying to save from eternal hell. Verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. This verse is really powerful in the Greek, because in the Greek, the first two words of the verse, the first two words are, will come. This sentence starts, and Peter says, will come. In other words, He is coming. That would be a better translation. Make no mistake, He is coming. It'll be like a thief. The heavens will pass away with a roar. Heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. The earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. When I came back from Canada, come into my office, I see kind of this kind of poster on the office door. It's orange poster with big O and a big S and a big U on my door. I think, well, you know, that's clever. Welcome home, right? I open my door. And there's orange and black everywhere I look. And this is not normally so. In fact, all the things that are normally crimson and white, they're all covered up with black paper. I've got orange things hanging from the ceiling. I have orange balloons. I've black covering everything, red and orange everywhere I look. Right. It was a good prank. I mean, I had things wrapped. A stapler was wrapped. My pencil holder was wrapped. My keyboard was wrapped. It was a good prank. Elizabeth? Good prank. And her cohort Ty, who's not here, and corroborating coworker of mine, Janet Richardson. Anyway, it was a good prank. I was surprised. That was the last thing on my mind. Surprise. You ever surprise somebody? When Jesus comes back, it will be a day just like today. When Jesus comes back, it'll be a moment just like this moment. Right?
Yes.
It'll be a day just like every day. Will there be something that you wish you'd have done? That's what this passage, that's what this chapter is about. It's a warning. He's coming. You're not going to know. There's some scripture, there's scripture in the Gospels where Jesus is talking about signs and those things, Matthew 24. When you look at that and you really understand it, we come to see that Jesus was giving them signs to understand when the destruction of Jerusalem would be, when the Romans would come in and destroy that city, destroy that temple. And they did. And it was horrible. And it happened in AD 70. It happened in their lifetime. And Jesus gave them signs of that coming. And he said, when it comes, you get out. Those are not signs of the second coming. We don't have signs of the second coming. We don't have something that says, Christians, I know you've been living lukewarm. Now's the time you need to get faithful to God. We don't have that. It'll be like a thief. We have to be ready every day. It makes clear here that the creation will be burned up. It'll be destroyed. It will be dissolved. It will pass away with a roar. We have some scriptures that also speak to this. Back in Isaiah 34:4, listen to this. All the host of heaven shall rot away. That's talking about planets, stars. And the skies roll up like a scroll. Their host shall fall as leaves fall from the vine, like leaves falling from the fig tree. Hey, God spoke it in a word, and he can roll it up in a word. He'll destroy it. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, until heaven and earth shall pass away. Later, in chapter 24, later in his ministry, he said, heaven and earth will pass away. It's going to pass away. It is disposable. Since all these things shall be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? In the Greek, this phrase that says, what sort of people ought you to be? Literally, that means of what country? Now, the meaning is what lives ought you to live. That's why it's translated that way. But literally, in the literal wording, of what country are you? Of what nationality are you? What is your citizenship? What should it be? And it's a reminder that, yes, I'm an American, but that is a very minor thing compared to I'm a child of God. That's where my home is. This is temporary. What kind of life should we live? And the grammar here with the phrase in lives of holiness and godliness, it's the idea of your living. How am I living? Not one point in time. Not how am I doing right this moment, but how is my life? Am I living for God? And the answer to it is 2 Corinthians 4:18. It maybe could be worded no better than this. Paul said, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For things that are seen are transient, but things that are unseen are eternal. What is something you're looking forward to? Something you're looking forward to. There's something I'm looking forward to at the end of this year. I have a daughter that's planning to get married at the end of this year. And that's going to be something to celebrate. I'm having a boy. I'm having a son. Right? And no offense to Elizabeth, Sydney, or Abigail, but I'm having a son. I mean, it took 20 years. It's son-in-law. It's the next best thing to a son. It's something to celebrate when your child gets married, isn't it?
Amen.
I'm looking forward to that. Next March, Stephanie and I will celebrate our, God willing, our 20th year anniversary. That's something to celebrate. 20 years. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to a day when, God willing, I have grandchildren. You older folks just go nuts over your grandkids, and I've concluded it's got to be great. It's got to be a really wonderful thing. I look forward to it. What's something you look forward to? Verse 12 says, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. As a Christian, if I'm dreading the coming, second coming of Jesus, I'm doing something wrong. As a Christian, if I'm hoping that Jesus comes later and later, with the exception of trying to save a soul, if I'm hoping he comes later and later, it's out of ignorance here that I don't understand heaven. If I'm ready, that ought to be the thing I look forward to, isn't it? If I'm ready. I mean, we might plan vacations, we might have things in our future that we're excited about and we look forward to, but goodness, compared to heaven, that stuff ought to just be small. That ought to be worthless compared to looking forward to heaven. And that comes at the second coming of Jesus. Jesus comes, everyone is brought before the throne of God. Think about this. It is estimated there have been about 6+ billion souls that walked this earth previously. And about over 6 billion now that live on the earth. It is estimated that those who've already passed are about equal to those alive right now. We don't know the number, but it might be 6-7 billion souls that are waiting right now for judgment. Wherever that is. Biblically, the word Hades speaks to a waiting place. Torment, paradise, wherever that is, there are a lot of souls waiting, aren't they? For judgment. And the souls living, we're waiting for judgment. When Jesus comes back, they'll all come before the throne of God. Heaven, hell, and all creation's destroyed. That's coming. If we're walking with God as a Christian, we look forward to that. We look forward to that day. We will have a new place to live. New heaven, new earth. Speaking about heaven, that's where we'll be. It'll be new. If you're like me, you have the tendency to get too attached to things. I like things. I always have. I like technology. I like new things. I saw I'd have to call it a watch or some band of some kind the other day. I don't know if you can buy these yet. But it illuminates your arm and it illuminates what you see on your smartphone. And by touching your arm where this is shines like a light, you can operate your phone, your smartphone, just like you normally do. But you're touching your arm. And all you're wearing is a wristband of sorts. And what I saw, this person was doing it while they were taking a bath, so it was waterproof. Now, I think that's pretty cool for a number of reasons, okay? I don't know if you can buy that yet. I don't know that I could afford it when you can buy it. I like things. We need to take sticky notes and put them on everything we own. And we need to write on that sticky note, stuff soon to be burned up. Write it on your house. Write it on your car. Write it on your phone, your gadgets, your boat, your golf clubs, your outfits. Right? Stuff. soon to be burned up. Doesn't that change things? We enjoy things, but there are things that are just going to be burned up. What are we really living for? We're going to sing a song, Jesus is Coming Soon. I just want to remind you of what you already knew, but something we don't think enough about. This week, I encourage you to think more about heaven. Think more about hell. Think more about the second coming. And when Jesus comes, whatever you wished you would have done, today's your day. If you're here today and you know you're not ready, let us help you get ready. Whether you do it as we sing this song or whether you come and find me before you leave this building, do not leave here today with something that in your mind you're thinking, well, I got to get that done before Jesus comes back. Do it today. Come while we stand and sing.
Troublesome times I hear, billion times with fear, freedom we all hold dear, now's at stake. From your heart to God, search from chains seeking God, seek the way of pilgrims try. Jesus is coming soon, morning.